Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. There are lots of things happening here this morning, and I think I'm going to forget something before the day is over, but it's good that we can come into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer our praise and thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. The announcements have been before you on the screen, and I hope you've taken the time to make note of those which are of most importance to you. To fathers of the congregation, happy Father's Day. To graduates of the congregation, happy graduation. We'll deal with that in a little while. And it's also Indigenous Peoples Sunday, and we'll say more about that in a couple of minutes. So a full agenda this morning. In preparation for this summer's vacation Bible school, we're still probably recruiting a few volunteers, so if you've got some time to loan to us from the 10th to the 14th of July, we'd love to have you participate in the Vacation Bible School with us. There's always room for another leader in Vacation Bible School, has been my experience over the years. And a note as well for folks about the application forms for the McRae Bursary, and those are at both doors this morning. And if someone is tuning in from on the online and are wanting those, they can be received from the church office as well. We are doing a special emergency appeal through the month of June for PWSND, our Presbyterian World Service and Development. They spring into action at the time of any crisis, working with church partners around the world to support countries and people who are in need. During the month of June, because of the many devastating natural events that have affected the life of many people in East Africa, the government of Canada during the month of June is matching donations that are given through PWSND on a one-to-one basis. I think it's one-to-one. It might be two-to-one. But the government is matching, so anything that you give will be at least doubled and to go to help the people in East Africa who are struggling with droughts, the odd reality, droughts and tropical storms and flooding all at the same time. And so please consider giving generously this month to assist in the relief of our partner churches in East Africa. And also we are collecting spreads, peanut butter or jam for Agape throughout the month of June. There's a table at the back, and you can bring your donations and leave them there. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world. Candle needs a little encouragement today. And Christ is the light of the world, and that we walk in his paths and seek to follow his ways. The call to worship for this morning will appear before you on the screen. It is a responsive call. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. Creator God, our source and loving parent, Creator God, who lived among us as sibling, teacher, and Lord, Jesus. Creator God, who our constant companion and guiding Holy Spirit. Open our minds today to know your presence. Open our hearts today to recognize the presence of our neighbors. We acknowledge before you and to one another, we are all people gifted by you, and its sustenance and beauty are a gift from you. We acknowledge before you and to one another.
Traditional territory of indigenous people, the Kanakai and Mohawk of the Haudenosaunee and Iroquois Confederacy.
We
who have lived here for thousands of years before we arrived, whose culture and wisdom we have too often ignored or hidden.
We celebrate the courage of people who are now declaring their indigenous heritage. Insight gathered over thousands of years, recognizing their relationship with all your creation. Artistic skills passed down from generation to generation, family and clan systems that give a deep sense of belonging. We commit to respectful listening and learning from Indigenous neighbors as we travel the path of reconciliation. As we come and worship this morning, we begin in praise, singing the hymn 787 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens, "The Kingdom of God is Justice and Joy." Please be seated. And I forgot the session summary, so. And Keppel was supposed to do it, so he's going to do that now.
Brian? Oh, good. I was going to wait and intervene, but he was too quick on the draw, and I was sleeping. The session met on Tuesday, June the 13th. Reverend Adams constituted the court with prayer and a reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Prayer requests and pastoral concerns were made for Barbara Adams, Frieda McDonald, Clarice Neal, Jeanette Scrimshaw, Dave Hickey, Janine Rennie, Fleur Enkhorn, and their families. At 7:15 was a stated hour that we met with Julie Choi, Roy Choi, Hannah McFadzen. These are confirmation candidates for church membership. They were asked what they learned and what they enjoyed. A very good discussion was held. A motion was put forward to accept these new members at the June 25th service, and their names will be added to the roll. Session received a report from the 6th Street Cemetery Committee regarding options to present at a town hall meeting later this fall and sources of funding for this project. We had some correspondence from Presbytery about the effects of understaffing by churches that have not had a minister for a very long period of time. To this, on October 14th, the Presbytery will be having workshops meetings regarding lay ministry. We also received a thank you note from Johnine Rennie for the support provided as she and the family adjusts to life without Dr. Fred. We received a committee report from Communion on June the 11th. We have 70 received Communion. The House Committee, information regarding need to replace chairs that are presenting hazards. We also have to look to make sure that they are robust and will not cause people to fall down. We are also looking at storage space that will be required for the tables, as it's very difficult to move them up and down from the top of the platform in the gym. From the Faith and Nurture, we acknowledge our university and secondary graduates from St. John's, wishing them well in this new part of their lives. Vacation Bible School will be held from July 10th to 14th, and the theme will be, nothing written here, but I think it's Babylon. From the Music and Worship Committee, a commemorative planting and plaque to be made for our late Minister Emeritus, Fred Rennie. It is hoped that St. John's will hold a Christmas carol singing event on December the 17th in the evening. From the Session Trust Fund, Susan McDonald resigned, so the committee will be looking for replacement. We would also like to remind all students going off to higher education that the McCrae bursary applications will be available at the exits and in the main office, so please fill them in. There may be need for congregational meeting if the revenue stream does not improve. The minister will be on holiday from July 3rd to July 9th. And August 7th to September 5th. The meeting was adjourned at 8:45. Thank you.
Thank you, Keppel. Let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, from you every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. You have rooted and grounded us in your covenant love, and empowered us by your Spirit to speak the truth in love, to walk in your ways toward justice and wholeness. Where we are confronted by difficult questions, grant us courage. Where we struggle with difficult answers, teach us humility. Merciful God, grant that your people journeying together in partnership may be strengthened and guided to help one another grow in the full stature of Christ, who is our light and our life. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning we mark the accomplishments of our young people of the congregation who are graduating from high school this year, their names and faces, smiling and looking very, very scholarly and mature, will appear before you on the screens in the following presentation.
My Lord remains with me. Be
Trish's are coming up. A special thanks to Greg DeBleek and the New Scottish Hymns Band who provided the music for that presentation. We contacted them earlier this week to see if they would allow us to use their recording this morning, and they did. So, oh, come this way. You don't get to see what we see. Sometimes that's a good thing. As the Psalm 139 says, it is good for us to know that wherever we go and wherever we travel, that God goes with us and is our constant companion and guide. And so we celebrate graduations as a congregation, as a way of both celebrating the basics of faith that our young people have received here in our church, and in preparing them for the future, and reminding them that wherever they go, the faith that they have learned here goes with them. For each of my children, when they have left for university and college, I have given them this one piece of advice. I will give it to all of the young people too. Find a church. Post-secondary education can be overwhelming. There may will be times when you'll just want a break from study. And churches will welcome you, not because of the project you're working on or what you're studying, but because you are a child of God. They will remind you of that fundamental promise that is made at baptism that transcends all congregations. So please, remember that. Find your place. And the other thing, in university towns, the churches are looking for you. They may even feed you. I'm just going to put that out there. There may be a day when you can get away from the dining hall or your own cooking and enjoy a meal at the welcome of another congregation. So we remind our young people of that. And we also have both a card and a small gift for you as you prepare to leave us this fall. Yeah.
So to echo Reverend Adam's words, we want to congratulate everyone. And if you can stand up and come to the front, so Julie, Max, Innes, Nico, did I get everyone that I saw here? Anyone else? Come on up. Way to go, guys. We know you're working really hard right now. You've got exams, and we're so glad to see you. Come right up here and face out so everyone can see you. Good job. We have a little card for you. Innes, Aerospace Engineering. Very nice. Nico. So Nico, can you correct my, you're going to be doing?
Well, I'm currently in the cadets because I didn't select the university because I'm coming back for another year of high school, which is why it's a little different than everyone else's. But my current position in cadets is the CSM, which stands for Company Sergeant Major.
Something I could never be. And continue.
All it means is I'm second in command of the entire Corps.
And plans on going to college or university, maybe through the Army track or otherwise, right? Wants to be a doctor. There you go. Max Hum. If my Facebook info is correct, you're going to be the valedictorian. And Sportsmanship Award winner of the year for
Athlete of the Year.
Thank you for correcting me on that.
Appreciate it.
Good job. And Julie. Hang on. It's here. Did I miss it? There it is. You got it. Julie's going to the... And Julie's going to Ottawa U for sciences, bio, and chem?
Bio.
For now. All right, so let's get a quick little look at these guys. Thanks for being here, guys. We're so glad to see you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Next, we sing the hymn. This is going to be fun. Usually we give you the option of looking at the TV screen or grabbing your book. I'm going to suggest you grab your book because this is going to be fun. The words are going to go up on the screen, but we do hit a certain snag at a certain point. Hymn 646 is Lead Me, Jesus, I Will Follow, Down the Dusty Pathways, All Along the Sea. And if you notice, there's a whole separate song that's written over the top of that. It's written as a descant, but normally we kind of do it as we sing Lead Me, Jesus, the first time as verse 1. We sing, open my eyes, open my eyes, that I may see, the second time as verse 2. And then in verse 3, and this is where the TV screens are going to let us down, we're going to sing both together because you can do that. Georgia, we're going to do this. I'm counting on you. George is laughing at me already. So this is what's going to happen the third time around. The lead me words are still going to show up on the screen. The open my eyes people, you either have to have a really good memory or read from the book. So if you're on this side of the church, you can follow the screens and have no worries whatsoever. And the choir, the third time through, is going to sing, Lead Me, Jesus, I Will Follow. So you follow them that third time through. This side of the church, my people, will sing, Lead Me, Jesus. We'll sing, Open. And then we'll sing, Open again, while they're singing, Lead Me. And you'll follow me. Simple. Right? If you've ever been to church camp, if you've ever sung Row, Row, Row Your Boat Is Around, you can do this. So Minna's going to play through both of the sections as way of introduction, and then when we get around to the lead me for the second time, then we'll sing together. Let us stand and sing. Thank you. Okay. Couldn't have done it better if I had a whole professional choir. Please be seated. And let us pray. Great Spirit, breathe your word into us this day, that we may hear your will for creation and embody it in all our lives. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me to read today. Appreciate it. The first reading is from the Old Testament, Exodus 16, verses 1 through 4a and 31 through 35. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day." The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, in order that they may see the food with which I fed you in the wilderness. Then I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the covenant for safekeeping. The Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a habitable land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. The second responsive reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, and 12 through 19, and 38 through 39. "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us.
We will let the coming generation see the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done."
He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
That they should not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God.
In the sight of their ancestors, he worked marvels in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night long with a fiery light.
He brought them into the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep.
He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers.
Yet they sinned still more against him, rebelling against the Most High in the desert.
They tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved.
They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?"
Yet he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Often he restrained his anger, and he did not stir up his wrath.
He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth does not come again.
The New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our next hymn is number 46, We Will Teach Each Generation.
Please be seated. And once more, let us listen for God's word, as it is given to us in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 to 6. Listen. Jesus said, "Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender, and if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord replied, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We make the road by walking. As part of the release of the findings of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada in 2015, Kairos, an ecumenical justice coalition, organized a walk in Ottawa, and it was entitled, We Make the Road by Walking. As I was preparing for this morning's service on this Indigenous Peoples Sunday, I found some material that had been prepared in 2015 for that walk and the beginning of the journey of reconciliation with First Nations and Indigenous people. And while we might think that 2015 seems an awful long time ago, progress, I think we would all agree, on the journey of reconciliation has been limited. We're still very much in the early stages of the journey toward justice and reconciliation. As many of you are aware, my wife Colleen considers Winnipeg her home, and her family still lives there. And so as a result, I have been a frequent visitor to the city of Winnipeg over the years. And for many years, I'm not even sure that I would not say this even now, but certainly for many years, I would always comment that it just wasn't a trip to Winnipeg if I didn't get lost, at least once. I mentioned this once while we were visiting some friends in Winnipeg, and the husband of the couple, Michael, pointed out that I keep getting lost in Winnipeg because of the way that the city of Winnipeg was developed. Winnipeg is located at the confluence of the Assiniboia and the Red Rivers. Its first highways weren't a dirt road or a paved path, but they were rivers. Native and colonizer alike would paddle along the rivers, and the first settlements were homes. You can see little black dots. Maybe you can see the little black dots on the map. Little black dots were the first homes and perhaps seasonal campsites that make up what we now call Winnipeg, all arranged around the river's edge. Now, this eventually evolved into long river lots, not unlike the seigneuries of the province of Quebec that we're familiar with the long lot running back from the river remaining their highways. And I don't think the long lots show up very well on that picture, but they're there. Not for you, anyway. But people on the live stream, they're getting all this. So go home today, watch the whole service again. But in addition to the rivers, there were pathways that developed that brought people either by foot or by horseback eventually into the central settlements. First, the forks, the place where the rivers met, and then later, the settlement fort of Fort Garry. And these paths emanated from all kinds of, from this central location, and then went out like spokes on a wheel. And then finally, in the 1800s, some brilliant city designer decided that it would be a good idea to overlay all of this with the upgraded transportation grid that we all know today, right? Cities lined up in nice square blocks. And so that happened. Ooh, that's the next slide. Of course, there was a challenge in Winnipeg with rivers and these great pathways that came into the city. All of the grids kind of run a slightly different way. So even the square city isn't really square. The result is this topsy-turvy layout that shows all of the history of the past, the use of the river as a road, the use of those pathways that led from distant, far distant places into the city, and finally, the grid. No wonder I get lost. And I swear there's a city in Winnipeg. There's one in St. John, too, Gail. That is one way in both directions. And to this day, I've never figured out how to get on that street on the way I want to go to the place I want to go. Always, I get lost in Winnipeg. As we turn to the scripture readings this morning, we meet the children of God who, during the time of the Exodus, who are wandering in the desert. And if you've paid close attention any time you've heard the story of the Exodus and the travels of the children of God, then you will know that the route that they took to travel was not particularly direct. They seem to overshoot the Red Sea a little bit and then come back up to catch it and get across at the right place. And then they went off course and they traveled all the way to the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula. Why? I don't know. It's the exact opposite direction from the Promised Land. And then finally they turn and head north again, do a couple more little jigs and jogs. And finally they arrive at their destination. If you look at the map, it's no wonder it took the children of God 40 years to wander in the wilderness before they reached their destination. They were searching. They were lost. For those who can't see it at the back, it says, Moses lost in the desert for 40 years. Moses leading the people of God and all the line in behind going, recalculating. Now, many scholars have wondered about this wilderness wandering that took place in the book of Exodus. Why did it take so long for the children of God to reach the destination? Well, one of the reasons is that there was no route. And so they had to make the road by walking. And along with that trip of walking to make the road that would lead them to the Promised Land, there has been the suggestion that the children of God took 40 years to get to the Promised Land because they were not ready to arrive in the Promised Land any sooner. Sure, they had escaped Egypt and slavery. And that's a good thing. The idea of freedom seems like this great idea, but the text that we read this morning, that Carmen read for us, makes clear that Egypt still has a hold on the children of God, even though they've left that land. Very early in this long and epic journey, not 2 months since they had set out from Egypt, the book of Exodus tells us the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. the Israelites said to them, if only we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat at the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out here into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were recalculating. Despite all of the hardships that they had experienced in Egypt, despite all of the harsh oppression that they had faced there, despite the fact that Pharaoh, instead of feeding the Israelite workers, actually was taking food away from them and giving them less and less and less so that they were always hungry. Despite all of that, when the children of God are pressed on the journey, the children could not place their trust in the Lord. When hardship enclosed around them, they still looked back to the past with its plentiful flesh pots. Change is hard. That's one of the most important lessons we learn from the book of Exodus. Change is hard. It just is. From the easiest and most seemingly inconsequential change to the greatest, we know the old way better than we all know the new. And as a result, we always look to the past. A number of years ago, I was serving in a congregation, and during my time there, we had to engage a new organist. Now, the new organist that we hired was a lovely player, very good player. She played the hymns well. She played nice other hymns. She was a very open musician. She enjoyed working with young people and others. She was a real contribution to the congregation. But she would play at least one hymn every week, or maybe two, from the piano. And after she'd been with us for 4 or 5 months, people started to question, and they wanted to know, why doesn't Judy play the organ? She did. She played the organ every week. Just not every hymn, as had been the custom for the many years beforehand. Change is hard. Even when the change is something that we've longed for, as the children of God longed for freedom and emancipation from Egypt, and they longed for the fulfillment of God's covenant and the gift of the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, change was hard. Now, in the Old Testament story, God meets the need of the children of God as they travel through the wilderness, right? God sends manna to feed them because they're hungry. And yet, even this miraculous gift of manna in the wilderness isn't enough, right? The people, just a few chapters later on from what we just read this morning, the people are complaining about this boring old diet that they have. Day after day. Not manna again. Way back in the summer of 2019. Seems like way back, doesn't it? Way back in the summer of 2019. I identified the work of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the building connections with our First Nations neighbors, as one of those things that I wanted to explore and work on during my time here at St. John's. It seemed apropos to me at the time, still does, for us as a community to build those bridges that go across the St. Lawrence and onto the island. Just 4 years since the Truth and Reconciliation Report was first written in 2019, when I said those things seemed to be happening. They did. Between a mixture of political will by political leaders in Ottawa and First Nation activism or protests and blockades, but, you know, we'll call it activism. They were all having the effect of bringing the issues of reconciliation to the fore, and it looked like there might be momentum. It looked like we might be able to change the dark stain of Canadian history. The first tentative steps. But as I was thinking this week, you know, then COVID. That which changed everything. And like so many things, everything stopped in the Truth and Reconciliation front as well. The topic of reconciliation went silent. Little was accomplished. Indeed, it would seem that things, reflecting on it, things are really still silent. Truth and Reconciliation Committee recommendations still have not reclaimed their place, I don't think, in the national discourse the way they had in 2018 and 2019. And yet the issues have not changed. We still wrestle with the legacy of residential schools, and indeed the reality of those institutions only came into sharper focus when graves of children were discovered in Kamloops in 2022, the beginning of a search for more and more graves in locations across the country. The lack of potable water in the last time I looked up the figure, it was somewhere near 100 First Nations communities across the nation, continues to be a struggle like it has been for years. Missing and murdered Indigenous women, unequal access to education and opportunity, and just plain old garden variety racism that marks the relationship of so many people with our First Nations neighbors. The list just goes on and on and on. And it is apparent that we are still in the early stages of the journey. That we, who are descendants of colonizers, are still engaged in the daring act of reimagining a new future with our First Nations brothers and sisters. In so many ways, we are still taking those first tentative steps. We are still making the road by walking. In our backyard, we have a shed at the back. We all have sheds at the backyard, right? And it's been interesting to watch the evolution of the track to the backyard, to the back shed. I don't think it had been used for a number of years before we moved into the house. But certainly we have used it greatly. And there's probably not a day goes by that there's not a trip to the shed at the back. And with each trip that goes, the path becomes just a little bit clearer. As we take each new step along the way. It's how paths develop, isn't it? One step at a time, making the road by walking. Today we remember the destructive actions of our past, including participation in residential schools, our indifference to conditions in too many places and the underlying causes of those conditions which rise from loss of family and culture. And we remember the promises that we have made, that we will seek reconciliation because it is God's will for God's people to see in one another the image of God and to atone for those things that we have done wrong in the past, in the hope that we will be forgiven. We have been called to live our lives as the church, to be ambassadors for reconciliation. And while the pathway is uncertain, and the goal seems way out there somewhere still. This one thing we know, that we will make the road by walking. So let us seek each day to be more cognizant of the world in which we live and of the suffering that exists in it for far too many people, but especially our First Nations brothers and sisters. And let us seek each day to find new ways to build gracious solutions. And let us find the road and not be lost. Thanks be to God. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for the many blessings that God has given to me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and our offerings to God. Let us pray. God of grace and goodness, your world is full of gifts that sustain all life. We offer our gifts to you this day in gratitude. Bless what we offer from our lives and take them, make them signs of your presence at work in the world, touching lives in need with your love and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. And as we come in prayer this morning, let us pray together the litany of healing and restoration that has been prepared by the Anglican Diocese of Rupert Land. We will say this as a responsive reading. Holy Creator, in whom all things in heaven and on earth have their being, have mercy upon us. Risen Christ, through whom the whole creation is reconciled to God, have mercy on us. Life-giving Spirit, whose love and truth fills the world and searches the depths of our lives, have mercy upon us. Blessed Trinity, source of both unity and diversity, have mercy on us. From our failure to recognize and respect the revelation of your truth and love in the First Nations of this land, Savior, forgive and heal us. From our participation in the systemic oppression of Indigenous sovereignty, language, culture, and spirituality, Savior, forgive and heal us. From our role in the Indian residential schools, designed to eliminate the unique society, wisdom, and beauty of the Indigenous people of this land, Savior, forgive and heal us. From our complicit tolerance of the decimation of Indigenous family structures, leaving children vulnerable to abuse of every kind, Savior, forgive and heal us. From our continued acceptance of unjust legal, educational, health, and social structures that continue to oppress and destroy the lives of many Indigenous people, Savior, forgive and heal us. O God, we pray for the gifts of your grace and your love, which never gives up on us and is forever faithful. Inspire our minds with a vision of the reconciliation of your kingdom in this time and this place. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our eyes, that we may see the sacredness in all creation. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our ears, that we may hear from every mouth of every peoples the hunger for hope and stories of refreshment. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our lips, that we may speak of the beauty of every tongue and dialect, proclaiming the wonderful works of the Lord. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our hearts, that we may discern your mission in which you call us to be immersed, particularly in partnership with the first peoples of this land. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our minds, that we may witness to your good news in our neighborhoods, communities, and all parts of the world. Hear us, O Christ. Touch our hands, that we may forever shun violence and embrace the work that you give us to do. Hear us, O Christ. Draw your church together, O Lord, into one great company of disciples, together following our Lord Jesus Christ into every walk of life, together serving you in your mission in the world, and together witnessing to your love on every continent and island of your creation. We ask this in the name of the risen Christ, in whom we are one. Amen. Now let us continue in prayer, praying the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 490 in the Book of Praise, God of Grace and God of Glory. Number 490, or as the words will appear before you on the screen. And now, may God send us anywhere that God would have us to go, and may we know that God goes with us. May God place upon us any burden that is ours to bear, and may we know that God stands with us to sustain us. May God break any tie that binds us, except the tie that binds us in love to Him. And may the blessings of God, the Creator who made and knows us, the Savior who redeems and befriends us, the Spirit who enlightens and sustains us, be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.